Before you listen to today's broadcast, can I ask you to do three things? First, pray with me that God would use this show to touch many lives in a lasting way. Second, if you're blessed by the broadcast, share it with others. Tell others about the Line of Fire. And third, would you pray about standing with us in support with a one-time gift or as a monthly torchbearer to help us spread the fire? If you'd like to stand with us, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on support. Be blessed. What do the American Family Association, Coral Ridge Ministries, and Concerned Women for America all have in common? Well, they are on Southern Poverty Law Center's hate group list. We'll talk about it today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the Line of Fire.
You know, there was a time when the Southern Poverty Law Center was widely respected because they would expose neo-Nazi and KKK-type groups and these various hate groups. But in recent years, more recently, they've disqualified themselves from being taken seriously. In fact, it's almost a badge of honor. It's almost a badge of honor to be found on their hate list or their anti-gay list. Michael Brown, thank you so much for joining us. I am in transit to India. Even now as you listen, I am on my way to India. So if you could breathe a prayer for me, for blessing on this trip, that there'd be energy, strength, that the flights would go well, that everything would be divinely ordained in terms of contacts, people, and that the ministry time there would be rich and life-changing for many. By God's grace, my 17th trip to India. So thank you so much for praying. I really do appreciate it. And I'm going to do my best. The schedule's been a little wild, but I'm going to do my best to broadcast one or two days live from India here on the Line of Fire. So, of course, I can't take your calls today, but by all means, share your thoughts on the Ask Dr. Brown page on Facebook, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. Okay, I've also got some interesting news. Let's see, about gay vultures, Germany being forced to mate with females. Some other interesting stories here. A little stack. All right. Intelligence report, Southern Poverty Law Center, winter 2010, issue number 140. 18 anti-gay groups and their propaganda by Evelyn Schlatter. Now, you have to understand, as much as I'm going to tear this thing to pieces in terms of exposing bad scholarship, bad reasoning, etc., as much as I'm going to bring this thing to the light and show it has precious little to stand on, and for the most part, this report claiming to debunk anti-gay myths actually debunks the validity of the Southern Poverty Law Center. But what you have to remember is there are many groups that take these listings seriously. The SPLC, as it's known for short, they take these listings very seriously. And if you're on the hate list, ooh, you've been branded. I'll tell you again, I got to be honest with you. I saw my organization, Coalition of Conscience, our Charlotte-based organization, was not on the list here. I was felt a little bit left out. All right, so here's what Evelyn Schlatter writes in the article, 18 Anti-Gay Groups and Their Propaganda. Even as some well-known anti-gay groups like Focus on the Family moderate their views, a hard core of smaller groups, most of them religiously motivated, have continued to pump out demonizing propaganda. Got those words? Demonizing propaganda. Aimed at homosexuals and other sexual minorities. These groups' influence reaches far beyond what their size would suggest because of the facts they disseminate about homosexuality are often amplified by certain politicians, other groups, and even news organizations. Of the 18 groups profiled below, the Southern Poverty Law Center will be listing 13 next year as hate groups. Reflecting further research into their views, those are each marked with an asterisk. But all those in the list of 18, I note, are called anti-gay groups. Generally, the SPLC's listings of these groups is based on their propagation of known falsehoods. Claims about LGBT, meaning lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people, that have been thoroughly discredited by scientific authorities, and repeated groundless name-calling. Viewing homosexuality as unbiblical does not qualify organizations for listing as hate groups. Perhaps we should add the words yet. We shall see. Viewing homosexuality as unbiblical does not yet qualify organizations for listing as hate groups. We shall see. So here's the criteria to get listed as a hate group and to be guilty of pumping out demonizing propaganda aimed at homosexuals and other sexual minorities. You must be guilty of propagating known falsehoods that have been thoroughly discredited by scientific authorities. So who are some of the groups that made it on this list? I'm only going to read the best known national groups, although there are others known to many in conservative circles that are listed here as well that I'm not referring to. Okay, this is on the anti-gay list and some listed as hate groups. Are you ready? The American Family Association, led by Donald Wildman and his son, Tim. Concerned Women for America. Another terrible, terrible hate-filled anti-gay group. Coral Ridge Ministries, famous for the ministry of the late D. James Kennedy. The Family Research Council, Liberty Council. And the National Organization for terribly anti-gay hateful group. National Organization for Marriage and the Traditional Values Coalition. So, article that now provides the information, which is really a very poor propaganda piece. I mean, very, very poor. It is illogical. The evidence that it cites to back claims sometimes even goes against the claims it's making. It's anybody working in this field, as I have now, in particular the last 6 years, and with my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, that is required reading. That's right. If you listen to this broadcast, you will be required. I wish. But we'll do our best to encourage every one of you to get this book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and what a long, strange trip it's been. Anybody who works in this field at all knows that this article, 10 Anti-Gay Myths Debunked by Evelyn Schlatter and Robert Steinbeck, is absolutely miserable. It's almost worthless, except to say that the SPLC debunks itself through this article. So it begins, ever since born-again singer and orange juice pitch woman Anita Bryan helped kick off the contemporary anti-gay movement more than 30 years ago, hardline elements of the religious right have been searching for ways to demonize homosexuals. That's it. So we are searching for ways to demonize homosexuals. It doesn't dawn on them that there could be legitimate concerns that homosexuality is not God's intended lifestyle for people. Or there could be legitimate concerns that gay activism is intruding its way into our homes and into our schools because gay activists believe they're doing the right thing, because they believe they're fighting for equality and tolerance, because they see themselves as a persecuted minority akin to blacks and others that have been persecuted as minorities in the past. So they feel they're doing the right thing. Could it be that we take respectful exception to that, that we're not searching for ways to demonize them? But I digress. Or at a minimum, the report continues, to find arguments that will prevent their normalization in society. For the former Florida beauty queen and her Save Our Children group, it was the alleged plans of gays and lesbians to recruit in schools that provided the fodder for their crusade. But in addition to hawking that myth, oh, hang on, it's a myth. It's a myth that gays and lesbians are trying to recruit in schools. So when, say, at a gay pride event in Boston, they're chanting recruit, 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 that's just a silly little phrase that means nothing. And when kids are being encouraged to come out younger in schools, and when there are gay straight alliances to encourage them to do so, and by express charter without the knowledge of the parents, so a 12-year-old kid in the middle school could come out to his peers and perhaps a faculty advisor, and the parents aren't even allowed to know, that of course is not recruiting. That's a myth. That's just a myth. The report continues, but in addition to hawking that myth, the legions of anti-gay activists who followed have added a panoply of others, ranging from the extremely doubtful claim that homosexuality is a choice to unalloyed lies like the lies like the claims that gays molest children far more than heterosexuals, or that hate crime laws will lead to the legalization of bestiality and necrophilia. These fairy tales are important to the anti-gay right because they form the basis of its claim that homosexuality is a social evil that must be suppressed, in an opinion rejected by virtually all relevant medical and scientific authorities. They also almost certainly contribute to hate crime violence directed at homosexuals, who are more targeted for such attacks than any other minority in America. The followers are 10 key myths propagated by the anti-gay movement, along with the truth behind the propaganda. By the way, according to the most recent hate crime statistics I saw, I believe for 2009, about half of all alleged hate crimes, I say alleged because we don't know for sure what happened in each case, but about half of those that are considered to be hate crimes by the FBI are based on race. So it is racial minorities who are far and away the most likely to be attacked or vilified in some way, violence done to them because of their minority status, their ethnic or color status. So that's far and away the biggest group. And then religious groups and groups with sexual differences, gay, lesbian, bisexual, etc., transgender, that's under 19% roughly for both. So they're the next class. So just to clarify, when we come back, I'm going to set the record straight. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, but not taking calls because I am in transit to India. Trip number 17 over to India, and hoping to come your way live from India later in the week. But today is December 1st, which means it is the first day of Hanukkah, the feast or festival of lights, the festival of dedication, the time in the Maccabean revolt against Greek oppression when our Jewish forefathers purified the temple in the middle of the 2nd century B.C. There is one chapter in the New Testament which explicitly occurs against that backdrop. The New Testament explicitly tells us this chapter has this setting. It was taking place at this time of the year, the Festival of Lights, Festival of Hanukkah dedication. What chapter is that? I'm going to give away a free copy of my book, What Do Jewish People Think About Jesus? And Other Questions Christians Ask About Jewish Beliefs and Practices. I'm going to give away a free copy of that book to the first caller who can tell me which chapter of the New Testament specifically has as its backdrop that these events were taking place during this time, the Festival of Lights, Festival of Dedication. There's only one chapter it explicitly applies to in the New Testament. So give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. The first caller gets it right, gets a free copy of the book. Okay, I am debunking a ridiculous, miserable report put out by the once-respected Southern Poverty Law Center called 10 Anti-Gay Myths Debunked, and it is based on people propagating known falsehoods, demonizing propaganda, fairy tales, in the words of the once-respected Southern Poverty Law Center, that if you do this, if you say any of these so-called anti-gay myths are true and you put this information out, you are categorized by them as an anti-gay group and perhaps even a hate group. So the report says that homosexuals are more targeted for hate crimes, such attacks, than any other minority in America. Now listen, one hateful act against a homosexual man or woman is one too many. And we who claim to be followers of Jesus, while saying that homosexual practice is sin, must demonstrate the love of God and the compassion of God and the goodness of God and the grace of God to all human beings, whether they identify as gay, straight, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual, heterosexual. We must demonstrate the love of Jesus just the same and engage in conduct that glorifies the Lord. And if there are hateful words that come from us, hateful deeds that come from us, we disqualify ourselves as ambassadors of Jesus and bring great reproach to his name, let alone hurt other people. But just to set the facts straight here, FBI hate crime stats from 2009, of the 6,598 single bias incidents, 48.5% were motivated by a racial bias. So far and away, that was the number one reason for so-called hate crimes. 19.7% were motivated by a religious bias, and 18.5% were motivated by a sexual orientation bias. 11.8% were motivated by an ethnicity, national origin bias. Bias against a disability accounted for 1.5% of single bias incidents. Okay, so what are some of these alleged anti-gay myths and the propagation of these fairy tales, this demonizing propaganda, characterizes you as a hate group or at the least anti-gay group by the SPLC? Are you ready? I'll highlight a few of these. Myth number two, same-sex parents harm children. Sorry, this is a, according to them, fairy tale. And if you propagate this, quote, fairy tale, this, quote, anti-gay myth, you are an anti-gay group, maybe even a hate group. You got to be kidding me. The argument, most hardline anti-gay organizations are heavily invested from both a religious and a political standpoint in promoting the traditional nuclear family. What an evil bigoted thing. What a terribly ugly thing to do to promote the traditional nuclear family. In other words, moms, dads, kids, as the sole framework for the healthy upbringing of children. They maintain a reflexive belief that same-sex parenting must be harmful to children, although the exact nature of that supposed harm varies widely. So they give a few quotes that allegedly back up their facts that no legitimate research has demonstrated that same-sex couples are any more or any less harmful to children than heterosexual couples. Oh, man. So if you say, you know, the best way for a kid to be raised is with his or her mom and dad, that's the very best environment, and thousands of studies point to that, you are now propagating falsehood, known falsehood that has been thoroughly discredited by scientific research. Friends, this is meant to be taken seriously. I'm sounding the alarm and telling you that Southern Poverty Law Center is widely respected somehow by many because of some of their good work in the past. And if they say a group's a hate group, they're branded. I mean, today it's more of a badge of honor. Like I said earlier, I feel bad I didn't make it on the list. In point of fact, there are limited studies about same-sex parenting. That's one thing. When the American Academy of Pediatrics put out a statement saying, hey, same-sex parenting is just fine, there are many, many other pediatricians that rose up against it and wrote a letter saying, outrageous! It's just a political statement not supported by the evidence. And there are studies that have indicated and known within the gay scientific community that kids who are raised in same-sex households have a greater tendency to same-sex behavior themselves or to gender identity confusion or to challenging gender lines. It's often been pointed out that boys raised by two moms will be more feminized and that girls raised by two moms will be more masculinized. No, but if you say that, you are propagating a known falsehood. Boy, how about this one? Myth number three. People become homosexual because they were sexually abused as children or there was a deficiency in sex role modeling by their parents. And they claim no scientifically sound study has linked sexual orientation or identity with parental role modeling or childhood sexual abuse. You know what's fascinating on that? Yeah, we know that there are people that are homosexual that were not abused, and their upbringing seems to be fine, and it's hard to figure out exactly why they are same-sex attracted. But every single pastor I have ever talked to who has done a lot of counseling and ministry in this area has said every person that ever came to them that was homosexual had been abused. Is that just coincidence? Are they all part of this grand conspiracy? The fact is, some people who already may be non-gender conforming in behavior, maybe get singled out, whatever it is, they get abused. That often is a formative thing in their experience. And many will tell you that the same patterns occur over and over and over in terms of familial upbringing and people developing same-sex attraction. Oh, but oh, if you say that, hate group, anti-gay group, you're on the list. We'll come back and talk about gay vultures in German. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown en route to India as I speak. So please pray for the trip and fruit on the trip. I'm going to do my best to come your way live from India. It'll be 1:30 in the morning, India time. And I've got a couple of possible windows we'll be able to do it. But these are very precious trips. One of these days, I want to tell you about some of the extraordinary experiences I've had in India. In fact, maybe just one show, I'll tell you stories of experiences I've had in India, things touching, moving, life-changing. But thank you for joining us. Please visit our website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and click support just to find out the many ways you could stand with us. You could stand with us in prayer. We need an army of monthly supporters to help us to take the line of fire to millions of people nationally. Whatever you can do, one-time gifts towards the end of the year would be a real blessing. So thank you for caring. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for sharing. All right, I'm talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center's recent completely bogus report that lists 18 alleged anti-gay groups, including Concerned Women for America, Liberty Council, American Family Association, and others. And it's horrific, just one of the most specious, vacuous articles, poorly reasoned and poorly documented articles, allegedly debunking anti-gay myths. And the real problem here, aside from the fact that some people, many people, take the SPLC's report seriously, some of them should be taken seriously, some are completely bogus. I was quoted in one with reference to some other group and where I spoke, and just I could not believe how things got misunderstood and twisted. To the point that someone involved in a report, not with SPLC, but contributing report, had to go back and listen to a tape and realize they even made some errors. But that being said, people take this seriously, and if you hold to any of these so-called 10 anti-gay myths, like same-sex parents harm children, or people become homosexual because they're sexually abused as children, or there was a deficiency in sex role modeling by their parents, if you hold to this, then you are an anti-gay group propagating known falsehoods and spreading demonizing propaganda and fairy tales. Yeah, that's what they believe. Before I get back to the report, how about this story from Germany on AOL News, I believe. German zoo forces gay vultures to mate with females. Lauren Fryer reports German zookeepers are forcing two male vultures who prefer nesting together to mate with females. Sparking outrage from gay rights activists who accused the zoo of discriminating against birds of a different feather. The trouble began back in March when Guido and Detlef, two griffin vultures, decided to move in together. It's a little hard to have sympathy for vultures, but I guess if they're gay vultures. But by the way, in my studies for my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, I did delve into the issue of gay behavior, homosexual behavior among animals. And of course, even gay activist scientists have pointed out, pigs don't date and horses don't get in relationships. In other words, you can't compare animal behavior to human behavior. But there are all kinds of different reasons why animals do these things. Some of them are power issues. Some of them have to do with socialize. And it's just a lot of us is nothing to do with same-sex attraction or they're homosexual versus heterosexual. And there's rams, and maybe there was something in the brain where there's something lacking. And gay activists were getting upset about how the rams are being treated. Anyway, So I don't buy the fact that there's such a thing as a gay vulture. But it turns out that these predatory males seem to enjoy one another's company more than that of any female. They spent their days grooming one another with their beaks and fortifying their nests. Though other vultures occasionally stole their building materials as if to spite them. And basically they decided, look, we have to get females because these birds are being kept in captivity also to help them reproduce in safe environments and grow their species numbers back, release them back in the wild. And, you know, vultures don't do like in vitro fertilization and stuff like that. So you got a mate. So last week, Guido was snatched from his partner and shipped 400 miles east to a zoo in the Czech Republic where a new bride awaited him. In his place is a Czech temptress whose zookeepers hope can seduce Detlef. Gay rights activists held a small demonstration in front of the zoo, waving a rainbow flag and decrying the zookeepers for standing in the way of love. Guido and Detlef aren't the first gay couple from the animal kingdom to make headlines. The article continues, two gay male penguins, Harry and Pepper, started living together at the San Francisco Zoo in 2003 and 5 years later adopted, incubated, and hatched an egg abandoned by a female penguin, but their romance didn't last. Last year, Harry left Pepper for a recently widowed female named Linda. Okay, so back to this report. Myth number four, homosexuals don't live nearly as long as heterosexuals, and then Paul Cameron's studies are quoted and rebutted, and he's always, you know, if you quote Paul Cameron, you disqualified yourself, that's how he gets blasted. Well, there's actually a recent Canadian study that points in the same direction, but we'll just go on, we'll not major on that. Myth number six, hate crime laws will lead to the jailing of pastors who criticize homosexuality and the legalization of practices like bestiality and necrophilia, which is doing bad stuff with corpses. The thing that's outrageous about this, and I have to laugh because this is meant to be taken seriously, is that when they say this is bogus to say hate crimes laws will lead to the jailing of pastors. Well, they've been arrested. Pastors have been arrested in Sweden and in England and in Canada, arrested and or fined. And things have happened in America with Christian leaders as well, speaking out. And it's allegedly hate speech. They've been arrested. Charges may have been dropped, but this stuff's happened. It's happened with street preachers now in England. Hate crime to say that it's homosexual practice is sinful. Or hate crime if the alleged victim thinks that you're thinking it. What about the myth that hate crime laws will also lead to legalization of practices like bestiality and necrophilia? Let me just point out that the Diversity Party that made headlines in the Netherlands a few years ago argued for dropping the age of consent for sexual activity and also argued to remove any taboos from consensual bestiality. Imagine if you get like a paw print or something from the animal. Forgive my sarcasm there, but anyway, the idea that hate crime laws will not lead to the jailing of pastors or arrests, it's happened. It's already happened. It's only going to keep happening, and this bogus stuff like this, claiming people are guilty of hate speech and being part of hate groups because they hold to these things, is fomenting the opposition and the irrationality behind these attacks. When we come back, I'm going to get to the most outrageous anti-gay myths yet. Could it be that the military is an anti-gay group? Stay with us. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown en route to India, asking you to pray for this trip number 17 to India. And can't take your calls, but hopefully later in the week I'll be coming your way live from India and giving you a report on what's happening there. with the pastors and leaders we work with who are planting churches, often sacrificially, always sacrificially, sometimes in the face of physical violence, sometimes even in the face of death. So we'll be giving you some reports from India, but this is a pre-recorded show. But please interact with us at Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, A-S-K-D-R Brown. All right, we're talking about alleged anti-gay myths. If you propagate these, you are propagating known falsehoods, which have been thoroughly discredited by scientific organizations. And according to the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, the once respected SPLC, if you propagate these things as I do, then you're part of an anti-gay group and even engaging in hate speech. All right, are you ready for myth number 7? We haven't covered every one in their list of 10, perhaps just the most egregious. Myth number 7, remember, this has been thoroughly discredited. This is a known falsehood. Allowing homosexuals to serve openly would damage the armed forces. Huh? Hang on. This is a known falsehood? Thoroughly discredited scientifically, and anyone that holds to it is propagating a known falsehood, a fairy tale, demonizing propaganda, to use the words of the SPLC. So the fact that major military leaders are against this and feel that it's not in the best interest of our military to have gay men and women serving openly. Again, I commend all homosexual men and women that want to fight for our country and stand for our country. I commend them. And I agree that at the very least, we should keep don't ask, don't tell, and should not have openly gay people serving the military for many reasons. The Marines have given strong reasons against it, and others, and congressmen like John McCain. So maybe maybe our military should be classified as an anti-gay group. Maybe the military should be on the SPLC's list of hate groups. I mean, can you realize how crazy this is? That this report is taken seriously by many because it came from the SPLC? How about this one? Myth number 8. Homosexuals are more prone to be mentally ill and to abuse drugs and alcohol. Now, if that is true, all the more should we be praying for the homosexual community, for gay friends, neighbors, family members. All the more should we be praying for God's mercy to flood their lives. All the more should we be asking for a tender and compassionate heart to reach out. All the more should we be looking to befriend those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, to get involved with their lives and to share the love of God with them. Unless it's a weakness in our own life, in which case others should be getting involved, but all of us where it's not an issue, by all means, to the extent these things are true. Now, here's what's wild. First, all major professional mental health organizations are on record as stating that homosexuality is not a mental disorder. Yet once the APA, American Psychological Association, or Psychiatric Association, first made that determination in 73, everything just kind of felt like dominoes afterwards. But to this day, there are many healthcare professionals that differ, that say that this is a disordered condition. But let's put that aside. Listen to this. If you say homosexuals are more prone to be mentally ill and to abuse drugs and alcohol, you are propagating a known falsehood. But listen, it is true that LGBT people suffer higher rates of anxiety, depression, and depression-related illnesses and behaviors like alcohol and drug abuse than the general population. It's true. But whose fault is it? Society's fault. It's the fault of homophobia. Although I'm looking at a report on a gay website that asks the question, which causes you more trouble on a daily basis, HIV stigma or homophobia? And HIV stigma was way, way ahead on the list, by the way. But isn't it wild that in countries like the Netherlands, which cannot be considered homophobic by any stretch of the mind, or cities like San Francisco with such vibrant gay communities and social life that you still have higher rates of anxiety, depression, depression-related illness, behaviors like alcohol, drug abuse, etc. Could it be that there's something disordered in homosexuality and therefore that all of these other things exist and it's not the fault of homophobia? Could you at least raise that as a possibility? No, no, not according to the SPLC. If you raise this, you are anti-gay, hate group, propagating myths, fairy tales, demonizing propaganda. Let me say again, this report, which allegedly debunks anti-gay myths, actually debunks any credibility that the SPLC has. We come back, the two most amazing anti-gay myths. Stay with us. Michael Brown here, en route to India, so not taking your calls today. Sit back, enjoy the show on this first day of Hanukkah. That's right, Festival of Lights, Festival of Dedication. We are debunking the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, report 10 anti-gay myths debunked. And the last two that we're going to debunk are these. These are allegedly myths, known falsehoods, and if you propagate them, you're an anti-gay group and even guilty of hate speech. Myth number 9, no one is born a homosexual. Now, you didn't know that was a myth? You didn't know that was a fairy tale? You didn't know that was demonizing propaganda? You know, all they can do is quote the American Psychological Association saying that despite much research into the possible genetic, hormonal, social, and cultural influences on sexual orientation, no evidence has emerged that would allow scientists to pinpoint the precise causes of sexual orientation. In other words, we don't know exactly why people are gay. We don't know exactly what it is. Is it nature? Is it nurture? Is it other things? We don't know exactly. Except, quote, most people experience little or no sense of choice about their sexual orientation. Duh. Okay, we understand that. What does that have to do? What does that have to do with it being a myth to say no one's born homosexual? We have no definitive evidence that people are, quote, born gay. Lesbian journalist Camille Paglia famously said no one is born gay. The idea is ridiculous, but if you're a conservative Christian group and you say that, you will get on the SPLC's hate list, anti-gay list, in a heartbeat. And how about myth number 10? Gay people can choose to leave homosexuality. And groups like Exodus International say you don't have to be gay. The National Association for Research and Therapy of Homosexuality describes itself as a professional scientific organization that offers hope to those who struggle with unwanted homosexuality. And that's exactly what they are, a professional scientific organization that offers that hope and by God's grace sees success. My late brother-in-law David came out of homosexuality. When he got saved, he gave his whole life, including sexuality, over to Jesus and was changed. I have other friends and colleagues that came out of homosexuality, some with radical sudden change, others with long, deep internal transformation struggle, but they're changed today. Yet, if you say that, or if you just say by the power of the gospel, no matter how deep-rooted something is, you can be changed. According to the SPLC, you're propagating a known falsehood that's been thoroughly discredited by science, and you are guilty of hate speech and are an anti-gay group. So, friends, what's the bottom line? The bottom line is that we live increasingly in a day where the PC line is so gay-slanted, where the politically correct approach is so pro-gay, where a sound biblical position and sound scientifically supported positions are so ridiculed that you cannot look to society for support. Now, that should be a given to us anyway as followers of Jesus. We should realize we often have to go against the grain. We should realize we will often be misunderstood. But when it comes to dealing with homosexual issues, even saying, pastors, please hear me, even if you don't want to get politically involved in this, even if you say, look, my job is to preach the gospel, isn't preaching the gospel also telling people that no matter what their lifestyle is, they can be changed by Jesus? Doesn't Paul explicitly say that in 1 Corinthians 6, such were some of you, including those in homosexual practice? Pastors, leaders, hear me. We're going to have to go against the grain with love, with truth, and we have to be confident that light will dispel darkness. So, rather than the Southern Poverty Law Center exposing myths, they have exposed themselves. Rather than debunking myths, they have debunked themselves. Let's pray for the truth of the gospel to penetrate the Southern Poverty Law Center as well.